Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thanks so much for listening. We are honored to be here and look forward to learning from God's Word together. Every day is a good day to study the Bible. Today, we will be thinking about the topic of judging others. Here where we live, what Jesus said in Matthew 7 has become very common and often quoted. This is where Jesus says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." Many times, this verse is used to say, "You can't tell me what to do. That's judging." If there is sin pointed out in someone's life, the response is, "Stop judging me. The Bible says, don't judge." This is the wrong way to use this verse. Jesus was not saying this at all. The next question is, then what did Jesus mean? And what is proper judgment? These are good questions. Glad you asked. The Bible teaches on this subject in many passages, but the passage we are going to look at is in James chapter 2. And if you can, please follow along in your Bible. Pastor J. Mark will give us three standards for judgment. Let's listen and learn together.
John Wesley once told the story of a man he disrespected because he considered him to be a miser and covetous. So one time, when this man contributed just a small gift to a worthy charity, John Wesley criticized him openly. Later on, the man went to Wesley privately, and he told him that he had been living on parsnips and water for several weeks. He explained that before his conversion, he had run up large debts, and by skimping on everything and buying nothing for himself, he was using the money to pay off his creditors. He said, "Christ has made me an honest man. I can only give a few offerings with all these debts. I have to settle up with my worldly neighbors and show them what the grace of God can do in the heart of a man who was once dishonest." Wesley, to his credit, apologized to the man and asked for his forgiveness. How often have you and I found ourselves in a situation like that, where we've judged someone else unjustly? I'm ashamed to admit it's been too frequent in my life. Our text for today is James chapter 2 and verses 10 to 13, and the title of my teaching is, "Who's Judging Whom?" Here is the Word of God. "For whoever shall keep the whole law, and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." In this section of teaching, James reveals to us several standards of judgment. Let's examine them together and allow the Spirit of God to show us the proper standard of judgment. The first standard is the external standard. Just before the verses I read, James instructs us on the evils of showing favoritism. And he clearly tells us that if we do that, if we show favoritism, we are violating God's law and we become guilty as lawbreakers. It seems natural for us to be harsh with the failures of others and lenient with our own. When you and I think about showing partiality or favoritism, we don't see that as being a grave sin, especially if you compare it to things like James did here, adultery and murder. But James' comparison, I believe, shows us the error of that mindset. Remember, he's writing to a primarily Jewish audience who were moving from being saved, they thought, by the works of the law, to being saved by faith in Christ apart from the works of the law. Now, according to Romans 3:20 and other scriptures, salvation was never possible by keeping the law. James was teaching them how a genuinely born-again Christ follower lives. Some Christians believe that acceptance and approval from God are based on performance. One evidence of this mindset is when people face trials and difficulty and tragedy in life. Often their question is, "Why me, Lord? I've tried to live a good life and obey your commands. Is this my reward for trying to be faithful?" You see, they assume that life should go smoothly if they keep God's commands. But I have to tell you, that mindset is not biblical. And then there's another false assumption. It's the idea that once I've accepted Christ as my Savior, it doesn't matter how I live. Christ accepts me just as I am, and I don't need to change. That mindset is not biblical either. So James points out that if we try to obey the law and break one specific command, we are guilty of violating the whole code. Why does he start with this concept? Well, I think it goes back to our tendency to use a double standard in judgment, one standard for ourselves and a different standard for others. Too often, when you and I evaluate ourselves, we excuse our behavior. So instead of confronting our sin, we call it an ethical lapse or poor judgment, or maybe an unfortunate mistake. We try to soften the seriousness of our sin. And we compare ourselves to others. Well, I'm better than they are, so I must not be too bad. That's the mentality of the Pharisees that Jesus pointedly condemned, because the Pharisees looked down on anyone who didn't follow their rules. They were so proud of their external standard. They tithed on the very smallest of seeds. But Jesus rebuked them. He said, "You disregard the more essential matters of the law, justice and mercy." And so the Pharisees were not on the inside what they appeared to be on the outside. They either forgot or ignored the fact that genuine obedience to the external standard is only possible when something has changed inside a person. So if you and I only have an external standard, then we will most likely develop a double standard in order to make ourselves more comfortable with our mistakes. We will be more susceptible to a condemning and judgmental attitude. We will be more susceptible to a condemning and judgmental attitude. As long as we try to categorize sin, we will find the sins of others to be more repugnant to God than our own sins. There's a second standard of judgment, then. I've called it the internal standard. In verse 12, James reminds us, "So speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." This is the internal standard. Speaking and doing are actions, but we are motivated by what we think. Our thoughts are motivated by what we believe, and James says our actions are to be judged or weighed in the balance of the law of liberty. What is that? Well, in its simplest form, a law is a principle that can be counted on to produce the same results every time. For example, the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. Now, the law of gravity can be overcome, but that is done using other laws like lift and thrust. So a law is a principle that has predictable functions. And how do we define liberty? Well, much of Christianity in this 21st century has turned the word liberty upside down, because the word as it is used here in the New Testament does not mean a license or permission to do what I please. It's not an excuse to gratify the flesh. James speaks of the law of liberty as the ability to do what we know is right. It is a higher standard than the external law. And it is this law of liberty by which you and I will be judged. You see, under Moses' law, a man was not stoned for lustful or immoral thoughts. But if he acted on those thoughts and committed fornication or adultery, then judgment followed. Christian liberty is a higher standard because it deals with our thoughts and our motives. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "To look at a woman and entertain lustful thoughts makes us guilty of committing adultery with her in our hearts." We are not to refuse sin simply because of the fear of punishment. No, we're to have a higher motivation. Our love for God and His grace in our hearts gives us both the desire and the power to do what we know pleases Him. The internal law of liberty is much more powerful than the external law of compulsion. Those who live under external law are fearful. They're always afraid they'll get caught violating one of the commands. Those who live by the law of liberty, they don't have anything to fear. They're motivated by their relationship with God and their fellow men, and so they judge cautiously and righteously. There's a final standard of judgment, and I've called it the lateral standard. In this final standard, the focus is on the horizontal, person-to-person relationships. James warns us about how we exercise judgment toward each other. You know, as we read the epistles, we see them echo the commands of Jesus. In Matthew 7, 1-5, Jesus clearly commands us not to judge each other unjustly. It could very well be that James thought of this discourse as he wrote these words. He reminds us to exercise judgment tempered with mercy. You might remember Jesus said in Matthew 7, 2, "For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." James says we can only expect the same for ourselves if we exercise judgment without mercy. And then in Matthew 18, Jesus told the unmerciful servant that he would receive the same because he exercised judgment without mercy. He was given to the tormentors until he paid the entire debt. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus linked our judgment with our response to the perceived offenses of others. We can't afford to exercise harsh judgment on our brothers and sisters. James closes our text with the statement, "Mercy rejoices against judgment." In John 8, the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus whom they said they had caught in adultery. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. In the law, Moses commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" You know what they were doing. They were hoping to trap him in his answer so they could accuse him. But Jesus ignored them, and he stooped down and he began to write on the ground with his finger. But they kept questioning him. Finally, he said, "The one who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And eventually, they all walked away because their consciences convicted them. When Jesus had raised himself and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus told her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." So mercy rejoiced over judgment and condemnation, and you and I are called to follow Jesus' example. So which of these standards of judgment are you using? Are you trying to earn God's approval by keeping some kind of an external standard? The Scriptures make it clear that is impossible. Or have you discovered the freedom that comes by following the law of liberty? If you haven't discovered that freedom, you'll only find it when you surrender control of your life to Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit living in you will empower you to live in freedom and joy. Now that doesn't mean that there's no effort needed on your part, but it does mean that you will take whatever steps are necessary to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And what about the lateral standard, your relationship with others? Do you show mercy toward them as the Lord has been merciful to you? Remember, whatever standard of judgment you or I use toward others will eventually be used toward us. So from now on, let's think more carefully about who's judging whom.
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing these standards of judging with us. This gives us a better understanding of judging and judgment. As followers of Christ, we want to handle this subject well, and we must be careful how we judge others because, as we heard, this is how we will be judged. Thanks again, J. Mark, for sharing this practical teaching with us. If you have any questions about this teaching, or if you would like to hear more teaching from Heralds of Hope, here is how you can reach us. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can contact us via our website. The address is heraldsofhope.org. And of course, you can write to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA 15533. Thank you so much for being with us for today's teaching. Lord willing, we will be together again next week. I close with what Jesus said concerning judgment. He said, "For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." It is good to remember this and let it impact the way we live.